drinking town with a football problem. Hey everybody, welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Fralin.
I'm Amy.
I got a big show planned here, so let's get right to it. First off, follow us on Twitter, at Piffles Pod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
Follow me, at Safamod.
Myself, at Fernie635.
And I am at CFL Hottieball.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Like us on Instagram, just search Piffles Pod. And as always, check PifflesPodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out BrynWerrett.com. That's BrynWerrett.com. Coming up on this week's show, we don't have any games to recap for the Riders as they were on their bye week last week. But we're going to take a look at this upcoming game against the Edmonton Eskimos Friday, August 26th at 7:30 p.m. We'll have the latest Rider roster news and entrance into the Hottie Bowl. We'll see if we have a rant this week. Our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles player profile. Engaging with the enemy, and as always, we'll have our Piffles picks. Now, before we get started, we want to start the show by thanking everybody that came out to play football with us this past Friday for the first ever Piffles Bowl. We thank those that made donations that couldn't make it out, and those that just wanted to be there and watch. We want to thank the Great Canadian Brewhouse for hosting the silent auction and raffles after the event. We do apologize about the confusion in the discount cards at the Brewhouse. There was some miscommunication there. We also want to thank Riders players Darius Bladek for coming out and having fun, and also to Bakari Grant for joining the fun, but also supplying the event with footballs and partnering up with Hope's Home in Regina that started this all. I personally want to thank Greg and Steve especially. This event was basically handled by pretty much you guys, and it was a success. So thank you for all your hard work. We were able to raise $1,505 for Hope's Home, and we thank all of you for making it happen. Not too bad for something that we just kind of threw out there and hope it stuck to a wall, and I thought it turned out pretty good. So good on everybody for all your hard work and everybody that came out, made donations. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That was awesome.
It was a blast.
It was a lot of fun. Piffles Bowl 2, bigger and better next year.
Legitimately, though, did anybody have more fun at that event than Darius?
And talking to him after the event, he came out for a drink with us after at the Canadian Brewhouse. And he's just a down-to-earth guy. He loves the game. You can tell just by talking to him. That's what he's programmed. It's just football, football, football.
Yeah. But his goal is to be Hall of Famer.
His immediate goal, but besides winning Grey Cups, obviously, he said. He says this year, obviously, Grey Cup is number one, but I want to be Rookie of the Year. And like he legitimately gets it. And off the record, he was telling us, you know, a couple things about the draft process and the interviews and some of the weird kind of scenarios that came up in his draft process. And we won't get to that on the show. I'm not sure how much he would like us to actually say about that. but he says the Riders blew him away with everything that they did, and he's more than happy to be here. And he wants to be here a long, long time. He's just going to kind of play it out and see what happens. And hopefully he can get into the starting lineup right away and show what he can do.
We're absolutely happy to have him here. He seems like a really good community guy. If you ever, like, he talked about the event afterwards and saying he was glad to get out, you know, get involved in the community. It seems like all he wanted to do.
And he chose to stay here during his bye week instead of going home to Florida. He said he didn't want that distraction. He just wanted to stay here and get more involved in the community and just be up here in Regina. So good on you guys for coming out. So thank you so much for making that event a success. And we learned a lot of things. There's some things that we know that we can do better and improve upon for next year. And we'll work on that and make it bigger and better next year. Now down to the Rider news. Ricky Collins, receiver, traded to Hamilton for defensive end Mike McAdoo and a 6th round pick in 2018. Going the other way was Ricky Collins and a 7th round pick in 2018. Your first thoughts?
It's a great trade to me. I mean, we got rid of a guy who had fallen behind Antoine Grant on the depth chart. We were seeing him get his chances ahead of Collins. Yeah, Collins was injured on the 6th game, or injured in quotation marks. Who knows what the, you know, with our roster, if they're actually or not, but obviously Grant was the preferred option. We had the depth there. We're looking to shore up our D-line. I like it.
To me, it was basically getting something for nothing because, you know, Owen's coming back, Christian Jones looking like a real stud as a returner. Like Steve said, Antoine Grant looking good as a receiver. If we need to test our depth a little bit, I mean, we move up from a 6th round pick to a, or from a 7th round pick in 2018 to a 6th round pick, so move up around, get another player that maybe has something that we can use. Not bad.
great trade. The guy wasn't going to make the active roster, barring probably about two or three injuries to American receivers. So you might as well get a position that, and not that defensive end is a big need, but it definitely doesn't hurt to have another defensive end who has CFL experience. Mike McAdoo, 6'7", so right there off the bat, he's a big, giant dude, fits the Chris Jones mold of what he wants on the team, is big guys. So if he turns into even a rotational player, that's a steal of a trade. So we wish Ricky Collins the best, but he just honestly really didn't fit in here. And we kind of knew that in the offseason once we signed Daron Carter, Chad Owens, Makari Grant. Like, we knew that, okay, well, we had, at the time, Armani Edwards as well, Caleb Hawley. Caleb Hawley's coming back from injury, hopefully right away here. And we knew we were going to have to move some of them, and this is just one of those moves.
And honestly, if all of that wasn't obvious that he was going to be moved, the fact that we went out and got Vernon Adams, he needed that number three. How's he going to get it? Got to ship Collins the other way. He can enjoy chicken fries in Hamilton.
And that'll save us Vernon Adams some money getting that number from him. So now, that was immediate thoughts. We think it's a good trade. Is this the beginning of the Tiger Cats rebuild? Now, getting a player isn't necessarily all about, you know, the fire sale that they were talking about, because they did also trade John Chick to Edmonton this past Sunday for a second round pick, which I think for Hamilton is a great trade. But is this the beginning of the Tiger Cats rebuild?
I'm thinking it's looking like it. They're 0-8 to start the season, trading a veteran like John Chick, the exact kind of guy you want in the locker room. Absolutely, this is the beginning of a rebuild in Hamilton.
See, you know, I'm not so sure that it signifies that rebuild, because if you look at the stats-wise, John Chick hasn't really been that dominant D lineman that we've seen from him in years past. This might have been just the Ticats moving a piece to get some of their depth guys a shot at a starting job, knowing, yeah, the season's kind of on the outs, but even at 0-8, they're only a couple of games out of a playoff spot. I don't think they're ready to throw in the towel yet, but I think this was, if nothing else, a good wake-up call to the rest of the roster. Because this is a guy that's been with Kent Austin how many times? He's obviously a John Chick fan. If he's expendable, who on that roster is safe?
I don't think anybody on that. The only person on that roster right now in Hamilton who's safe is Zach Kolaros, and only because he makes $500K a year. Nobody's going to take that contract when pretty much everybody else is set at quarterback.
Well, if they want to throw somebody our way, I'll take Simone Lawrence.
Who do we have at Will? We have Sam McGlovin and...
I'm just trying to think if there's anybody else on their team that we would want.
Well, there's a lot of calls to see if we can go get Brandon Banks. I'm sitting there going, why?
Yeah, there's no need for... Chad Owens barely has a real spot on this roster when you look at it and where he fits in, let alone another clone of him, a younger clone of him. And a guy who doesn't get in on offense enough to make it worth it.
And when he does, he drops it like he did last week versus Ottawa. If that play wasn't a description of the Hamilton season, I don't know what is.
Now, other Rider roster news. They did sign defensive tackle Royce LaFrance and release defensive back Mark Roberts. Mark Roberts was actually in practice lining up with the number two receivers and practicing with them, so I was just trying to hope that he was going to stick around on the roster, but I guess he's not. But another defensive lineman, that's an area not necessarily of a huge weakness, but it is an area of need to shore up right now. So hopefully that guy can work out into something. And the news that came down on Tuesday, and yeah, pretty much, that's our response to this. NFL cast off Trent Richardson, running back. You'll know him. He was drafted really high by the Cleveland Browns, stunk it up there, and then went to Indianapolis and was even worse there. Granted, Indianapolis's O-line is junk and probably always will be with the way that they seem to draft. But Justin Dunk reported that he was on his way to Saskatchewan basically to finalize a deal and sign with the Riders. Turns out that's not the case. I guess he missed his flight, then found out that the CFL contracts are 1 year plus a team option, and he said, nope, I don't want that second year. And that was pretty much the end of it, and he didn't sign. So Trent Richardson, what do you guys make of this whole situation?
Why are we looking at international running backs, for one?
I don't mind looking at international running backs. Why are we looking at old, terrible NFL international running backs?
Well, he's not that old. I mean, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on that. He's only 27. We signed Corey Sheets when he was 28 or 29.
I guess he just seems like he's been washed up for a whole lot longer. I mean, is there a worse person to go after from the running back position when you're looking at that big NFL splash? And that's what this has all over. This has the Vince Young signing all over it again. And I don't know why they're doing this.
I have a theory behind that, and I honestly believe this. It's because I don't think it's necessarily Chris Jones. I think it's a John Murphy thing. John Murphy wants to get into the NFL. And the whole Vince Young thing, this thing, those are his, I'm trying to make a splash, get noticed by the NFL crowd. And kudos for him for, you know, wanting to dream big if that's the actual case. But it does not look good on this team to bring in guys or to want to bring in guys that clearly don't have it. It's not an area of need. Like Ferland said, we don't need an international running back. We have absolutely no space for Trent Richardson. It's a worthless, like even to put him on the neg list last week when they did, that was a waste of a roster spot. Because who did they get rid of? I'd like to know who they actually took off the neg list to put him on.
Johnny Manziel.
There's another fine right there. But if it was up to this team right now, from the looks of it, Johnny Manziel would be our starting quarterback. Vince Young would be backup, probably. And Trent Richardson would be our starting running back. In college, that's a great team.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I don't know what this administration is thinking when they do things like this. They haven't really had that many problems finding young offensive players. Like Caleb Hawley, they found. Look at all the receivers that they brought in last year that all played pretty well. I don't think scouting young guys is the problem. It's the matter of keeping those guys in the positions and not changing your roster every week. And that was the problem last year, was they didn't let these guys stay in the spot. And once we did that last year, we got on that big 4-game win streak at the end of the year. Continuity is key in football. And when you're bringing in guys like this, like, what does that say to Cameron Marshall, who's having a good start to the year? Like, we're clearly not happy with you if we're going to bring in Trent Richardson, a guy who hasn't played in a couple of years and a guy who lost it before he even had it.
If you're looking over your shoulder and you see Trent Richardson as your, you know, biggest threat, you might take it easy a little bit, relax.
Don't have to run lazy very boy. Fast to get ahead of him.
Like, yeah. I can't think of a guy that's less designed for the CFL game in recent memory than Trent Richardson. It blows my mind, but I'm kind of glad that it all washed away an hour later.
Thank God he missed that flight.
Yes, otherwise we'd be talking to him tomorrow morning at practice. Yeah, I don't. These moves baffle me, and I just don't get it.
I mean, if you want to look at it on the flip side, let's say he comes in, give him a practice roster spot, give him a few weeks at practice, he sucks, you send him packing. I can kind of see the benefit, but...
But even then, you got to get rid of somebody on the practice roster to bring him on, and are you willing to do that?
You just move him to the pre-practice roster.
I guess so. It's a stupid move. I'm glad that it didn't happen, but... Stuff like this scares me about this administration, that they're not looking. This is even good for the short term. Like, they're not looking short term and long term when they do these things. Like, the move made zero sense if it were to come out. Whatever. He didn't sign here, and that's the main thing.
I have a feeling we're all going to be eating crow in a few weeks, and he will end up signing here when he realizes there's no NFL opportunity for him.
God, I hope not.
It's going to happen. Remember when the Vince Young rumors started, and we're like, no, there's no way it happens. It ain't going to happen.
And then out of nowhere, he's at the Regina airport.
Yeah.
God. Put somebody on airport watch.
You going to go meet Trent Richardson at the airport?
No.
Take your Denver Broncos hat.
Okay.
Doesn't the Bronco fans usually hate the Colts? Isn't he a former Colt?
I don't really hate the Colts. I hate the Patriots. Yeah. Everybody hates the Patriots, though.
That's fair.
Oh, well. Anyway, I'm done with Trent Richardson, so hopefully the Riders are, too. Let's talk about this upcoming game against Edmonton. Huge, huge, huge game. And the last time we saw the Riders, obviously that big 41-8 win against BC. Can they keep momentum? We're hoping so. After their last bye week and traveling to Calgary, it didn't really work out. But now that Edmonton lost last week to Winnipeg, now they're 7-1, are they vulnerable?
I don't think it's because of the loss that they're vulnerable. I think it's because they have 25 players on the 6-game injured list that they're vulnerable.
Well, and they might be getting some of those guys back this week. Adarius Bowman was practicing.
Armando Sewell, I believe, was practicing. They got John Chick to replace Howard on the D-line. So the Eskimos this season have been basically carried by their offensive line, defensive line, and quarterback. And now that they've got some healthy bodies returning to that D-line, I think they're going to be a little bit of a challenge this week compared to last in Winnipeg.
Okay, now that Johnchyk new on the D-line, is that going to make a difference?
Yes.
Obviously. I mean, Johnchyk is still a starting caliber defensive end. He may not be the, 2009 West nominee quality defensive end, but he's got talent there. He's still a good guy. He still can get some push.
When he's got Odell Willis on the other end, that should help him out too.
Especially if Amondo Sewell is coming back. That's a scary front three right there. But I kind of like the idea of us going with three imports again if that's the D-line they're putting on us.
If we go with two imports again and move Derek Dennis back out to left tackle, look at his last game against Hamilton. Johnchyk was invisible. And that was going against Derek Dennis most of the game. So I'm not too worried about Johnchyk in this game unless he lines up against right tackle. Then, okay, maybe a little bit of worry, but hopefully use that aggressive style that Johnchyk plays against him. We know how Johnchyk plays, and his motor never stops, so the guy is a beast. But I think he can use his aggressiveness against him.
Okay, so you got Dennis going back to left tackle, Johnchyk going up against him, so you've got Odell Willis going up against right tackle. That doesn't strike much confidence in me.
I'd still rather have Johnchyk go against left tackle than right tackle, though.
I'd rather none of them go against either of our tackles.
Well, we don't really have a choice.
Let's be real. The way the Edmonton Eskimos season is going, there's a good chance they're both going to be on the sixth game by...
by halftime?
Yeah. I was thinking by Thursday. Just the way it's going. I haven't seen a team get that decimated like this in a long time. They've got a...
Probably since 2008, the year of the broken leg here in Saskatchewan.
They've got a decent quality starting lineup on their sixth game.
Yep.
Their six-game injured list could beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
Our flag football team could beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats right now. No, the Riders coming off this bye week. Again, like I said, last time they did this, traveled to Calgary. That obviously didn't work out well. 27-10 loss in a game that really flattered the Riders because that was a blowout game. It wasn't that close. Will the Riders show up this week?
Yes.
Will they play good?
Probably.
Maybe. I can't see them having that kind of effort again after a second bye week. I think they're all going to realize what happened last time. It's still fresh in their memory. That was less than a month ago.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens because they're not practicing at Mosaic Stadium this week. They're practicing at Libel Field in Regina because Guns N' Roses are playing in Saskatchewan this upcoming Sunday night. So they need to get the field ready for the concert and the stage. Chris Jones mentioned that in the first day of practice on Monday, the team seemed off, that they just weren't... Maybe it was the bye week blues and just getting back into it the first game after. But these guys have a routine at the stadium that they're used to. Their locker rooms are there and everything. They can still kind of do that before. Then they got to hop on the bus and go to Libel Field. And that just kind of throws off everything. Is that going to make a difference at all?
If anything, I think practicing at Libel Field might be a bit of an advantage. Grass turf, just like Commonwealth.
I'm sorry, what?
Grass turf?
Grass field? You know what? You can both eat me.
Commonwealth has turf, and B, I'm pretty sure Libel has turf.
Yep.
Do they?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Oh,
man, I need to
sleep. Let's just wipe anything I say during this entire episode.
Probably should do that more often than not. We'll get to our picks a little bit later on, and we'll talk about that. It's an intriguing game. It's an absolutely massive game for the Riders. If they can win this, it doesn't really matter what happens the rest of the week with all the West teams because then we're still at least within striking distance. But the Riders right now, they control their own destiny, especially with back-to-back games against Winnipeg coming up right after this. So we're almost at the halfway point. This is absolutely huge. You look like you're itching to say something there.
I'm just going to shut up for the rest of the show. All right.
That's probably a good idea.
Now let's continue our talk on the Eskimos by talking to one. Time now for Engaging with the Enemy. Joining us this week from the Edmonton Eskimos is Adarius Bowman.
So you're here with Edmonton Eskimos wide receiver Adarius Bowman. Adarius, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. Very, very excited to be here.
Now, you were a Rider before. Does that mean you're going to be a Rider coming back in this new stadium?
Oh, no, I definitely won't be a Rider again. But look, I'm definitely excited about the changes that came around. I remember being here in 08, and I don't know. I don't have the same agent, but I remember calling back, telling him, like, bro, this is stadium I got to play in. You know, he's like, relax, man. You're going to be all right. Just give it some time. And then I remember once the season really started, it don't matter what stadium. These fans around here make anything feel, you know what I mean, like a game. And so I think the community, the city here in Regina deserves it. You know what I mean? It took too long to get it here. You know what I mean? But it's good to see. I think the fans are very, very, very excited, very ready. It's good to see some of the old faces. Like I said, I'm one of the veteran guys now, so it's good to see Kevin Glenn, you know what I mean? Darian Duran, I got to see out here. You know, my guy, Mike Riley, you know, everybody knows him. That's my guy. But it's just good to get the players all together, not really beating up on each other, really kind of, you know what I mean, letting the shoulders loose and really getting to know each other a little bit, get a couple of smiles on our faces, and that's what I've enjoyed about the CFL.
So do you have any interesting, strange, unusual talents that nobody knows about?
I definitely can't sing. So if you didn't know, just don't even try to find out. But, you know, I can bowl. I'm kind of awesome at chess, but I'm feeling scared to say it because I don't know. I ain't had too much competition, but when I was playing chess, I was the man. But actually, I think one of my better gifts is I like to see smiles on people's face. You know what I mean? I try to keep good energy, you know, because I feel like it's contagious. So I try to keep myself as much down that lane as possible, you know. That's maybe why people see me on the field and like, this guy just dropped the football. What is he laughing about? You know, by the way, my brain process, if you can't laugh that off, how do I move on? And, you know, it becomes contagious, you know. So, and they probably knew this, but I'm going to say the one thing they didn't know is I have too much energy and love, and I got to share it with everybody.
What are you watching on Netflix right now?
Netflix right now. I'm stuck to, I can't think of the show right now.
You watching Riverdale?
No, not Riverdale. I heard about Riverdale. What's this, I can't think of. Is it Colonies or Colonize or some weird show, man? It's everything got that zombie twist to it these days, man. You can't watch nothing without a zombie end up running across the screen. So some weird movie like that, man.
In the CFL in your time, who has been the best and worst trash talker in the league?
Is it you for both?
Definitely not me for neither. But the worst, the best. I go with the best first. One of the best, and I would put him in that best category because I actually go against him, and that's Simone Lawrence. I would say he's one of the best because it's doing warm-ups all the way till you, like, walk into the bus, you can still hear Simone talking trash. Win or lose, you know what I mean? He's going to talk trash about something. And one of the worst, and this worst isn't meaning like he's bad at it, but worse because he's my teammate and it's annoying. Odell Willis.
Not a fan of that?
I ain't been on the other side. You know what I mean? So that's why I say I'm kind of saying worse. And like, it probably ain't the full way to go, but when you, because use it on the other team, Odell. Don't use it on us, bro. You see what I mean? Odell trash talks everybody. You know, pick a side. So that's why I will use him as the worst, man. You know, he'll even do it to his own, in himself sometimes. A strange guy, but amazing person, you know.
So if you weren't a football player, what would you do with your life?
If I wasn't a football player, you know what I mean? I think I would. I got this thing for the youth, you know, so anything. I got a degree in teaching, elementary education, mathematics. Only numbers, though. Nothing else I'm going to teach your kids.
Do you know the new math?
Algebra?
I don't know. They have new math, and it's changing addition and multiplication. I don't know. I have no idea.
Math. So if you need someone who needs to learn the old math, adding, subtracting, dividing, and multiplying, I can do that. Yeah, don't come at me with word problems, though. You know what I mean? That ain't my thing. But I would say somewhere in mentoring, anything that can help our youth, you know, volunteer work or somewhere. But like I say, our youth is our future. So I would like to be in that type of lane because I think about all the people that's helped me throughout my life, from teachers to coaches to athletic directors to teammates to other father figures that I had. But those are the ones that made a difference for me today. And without those moments, I couldn't really see myself sitting here. You know, that's the real truth. I think we all need that helping shoulder, you know. So it would definitely still be in that category.
Who is the toughest DB you've ever gone up against in the CFL?
Ever. I would have to say Brandon Brunner. It's been a while. I know you haven't been around, but my earlier days, rookie year, sophomore, that's who I was going up against. And I had the skill, I had the talent, but I think he might have just been a little smarter, man. Now the league's a lot different, you know. I'm literally trying to tell these young receivers about that. Like, bro, it was a time where they literally could hit you before the ball was in the air. And they're like, what? You know, they throw a flag if can do that now, which I don't mind. You know what I mean? I'll take it, you know. But it was a time where DBs could actually, like, knock you off your feet. And that was that catch technique was one of the ones that made it so tough back then. You know, I know if you ask some of the older receivers around here, I think they're done now. But you're Matt Dominguez, DJ Flicks, you know what I mean? Andy Fantusa, I remember Terrence Edwards, Rumby Bryant, Derek Armstrong. You know, I was a younger guy then when all these guys was around. And I remember seeing that for the first time, you know, it was like, what is this up here, you know? But now to see the changes, and like I say, once again, it's for the fans. I think it made it a little bit more exciting for the fans, you know. Who don't like seeing a touchdown, bro?
Great point.
So what keeps Za'Darius Bowman busy off the field?
Oh, what keeps me busy off the field is our youth, once again. You know, definitely have this very excited about it. Just started a new nonprofit organization this year, Za'Darius for Autism, and we're targeting that area, the teens and adults with autism, and we're really trying to just help them find their passions and that transition from becoming a grade school to defining independence for themselves so they can be out in society and get the same opportunities we get. You know, it seems like things are set up for us to be successful. And when I say us, I mean us, you know what I mean? But why not have their lane to where they can be successful, you know? So that's what I'm really targeting, a lot of funding. Stops for the government once they get a lot older, you know? So that's been an area that I'm really working on. We're very new, but it's been tons of support, you know, and I think it'll be a lot of growth. And everybody check us out. Like I said, DariusForAutism.com, and it's been amazing. Got great partnerships. Sylvan Learning, that's one of the biggest ones. We got them to put together a couple of electronics and engineering-type program. So, like I say, just a start, but it's been amazing so far. But that's where my time's kind of going right now. Once again, I love our youth is our future, you know, so that's my ultimate give back. And I think I recommend all of us, you know, all of us players, you know, we've been very blessed. But if you could find a way to keep that ongoing charity, ongoing giving, I think it'll be no way to thank. See, any coach, anything you've been a part of, you know, it'll be no better way to thank this opportunity we was given by giving back.
And there's a little bit from Za'Darius Bowman of the Edmonton Eskimos on Engaging with the Enemy.
Coming up next, we have the Hottie Bowl and this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe, Piffle's Player Profile, and much more. Stay tuned.
Piffle's podcast is supported in part by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. A longtime volunteer with your Regina Thunder, Bryn is a proud supporter of local football. Check out BrynWerrett.com, that's BrynWerrett.com, while you enjoy the rest of this episode of the Piffles podcast. And actually, Bryn Werrett does a lot of stuff with the Regina Thunder as well, and if you guys missed their game this past week, the Thunder absolutely destroyed Edmonton Wildcats on this past weekend. The final score, 55-7. And fun fact, Greg with PifflesPodcast.com actually did color for that game. Thought he did a pretty good job. I was able to tune in for a little bit, and I thought he did a pretty good job. So good on you, Greg, and good on the Regina Thunder for absolutely dominating the Edmonton Wildcats.
Hopefully the Riders follow that up with another dominant performance over an Edmonton-based team.
That's the goal. Could you imagine 55-7 in Commonwealth? Oh, man.
No.
Not for Edmonton either.
I can't even picture that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's fair. Judging off history, that's probably not going to happen. All right, getting back to things here. Time for this week's Hottie Bowl. I like you a lot, lot. All we want is hot, hot. Boys, boys, boys. We like boys in cars. Boys, boys, boys. That's a great team.
Maybe leave that to
Lady Gaga?
Gaga.
That's a great song. Come on. How can you not sing along to that?
I do in my car all the time.
I cannot sing along to that very easily.
You suck.
Accurate.
Okay, so my turn now. This player, he was born April 2nd, 1989 in Surrey, BC. He is 6'3", 302 pounds. So he's a big boy.
That's a big guy.
He's a big boy. He was drafted in 2014 before he had the chance to finish his degree and is currently working on completing his psychology degree at UBC. When he isn't playing football, he enjoys working out, relaxing at home, and eating. So I feel like we could be best friends because two of those are also my favorite things. I won't tell you which ones are my favorites. His favorite memory was being picked up by the BC Lions and having the opportunity to represent his home team. Prior to UBC, he also played junior football with the South Surrey Rams. He is the first person in his family to play football, and make it to the next level as a professional player. He is number 55 offensive lineman for the BC Lions, Jas Dillon.
I wish I knew who that was.
He's cute.
And that's all that matters on the Hottie Bowl.
Right? Anyway, you can follow him on Twitter at jdillon90, J-D-H-I-L-L-O-N, 90.
Welcome to the Hottie Bowl, Jas.
Jas Garan, I think is his name. Proper name. Professional Indo-Canadian Sikh football player chasing the dream and trying to make it my reality. Hashtag seek and destroy.
That's a great hashtag.
That is a great pun.
The puns.
That's great. As a Metallica fan, I especially appreciate that.
I can't wait. I know Jim listens to this show. Can't wait till he hears that pun.
His location is most likely by food and water.
Sounds like an offensive lineman to me.
That's all I got. All
right.
He's an attractive, large man.
The complete opposite of Alex.
Yep.
He's an attractive small man. Medium-sized man? We'll say
go
medium.
Go with medium. Medium to large. He is somewhere in there.
Alex is average in every respect.
And that's why I love him.
Settling on mediocrity.
I always knew you were a Ryder fan at heart. Proof in the pudding.
If you set your standards low, you can't be disappointed.
There we go. I'm not lower than low, so there we go.
Marriage advice from the Dorman family.
Don't forget, you can get your Hottie Bowl merchandise at pifflespodcast.com. Check it out in the shop on the website, pifflespodcast.com.
I love you, by the way.
Love you, too. Time now for this week's Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. I really want to know. This week on the Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile, we learn more about running back, receiver, and kick returner, Christian Jones.
So we're joined here by Christian Jones of the Riders. Christian, thanks for taking time.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first off, welcome to Riderville. You haven't been here very long. How are you enjoying it so far?
I love it, man. I love the people here, the culture here, from the fans to the coaches, to the guys that's from Canada here on the team. You know, they love it. They know the culture of it. They know the importance of it, this league, this team. So I enjoy it. I come from the same culture of football, so it's nothing different to me.
What's your favorite part of Regina so far?
Playing for Saskatchewan Riders right now. Yeah.
So what made you get into football?
You know, I my mom, actually, you know, when I was about 6-7 years old, she made me play with no accent. You know, I was playing video games growing up, and she wasn't having that, being at the house like that. So, you know, I had to go and get on that field.
And do something.
Yeah, and it stuck with me, and I got better and better every year. And that's how I got into playing football.
Throughout your life, who has been your biggest inspiration?
Man. Mom.
Yeah.
Mom, I say mom and dad because I'm close with both. So both of them has really, really been, you know, when times is hard, you know, those are the ones I go to and they mentor me, keep my mind leveled and keep me focused.
Now, if you could sit down with one person, dead or alive, in the world, who would it be?
God.
What would you talk to him about?
Man, so much. Too much to, man, I don't, that's a good question.
First question.
First question I would ask him?
Yeah.
Man, that's tough.
That's tough.
First question I would ask God, I would want to know, man, that's tough. I don't really know.
I want to know, like, what? First off, what's the plan? Like, what's your plan for me, or is it for somebody else?
Yeah, I guess that's what I would ask. I would ask, what's the plan? Or more like, did I fulfill my purpose? I guess that's probably the most important question to me I would ask God, like, did I fulfill my purpose on earth?
Now, along the lines of my last question, if you had to pick one, who would be your hero?
Who would be my hero if I had to pick one? My hero would be, man, to be honest with you, that'd be my parents, man, both of them. Been through so much growing up, and, you know, to watch them prevail and be consistent with their faith in God and be consistent with their faith and morals within themselves, you know, you can't beat it. Like I said, we've been through a lot. You know, and in life, you're going to go through much more. And those two people, my mom and dad, Claude and Sonya, are the two that I go to when I'm having a good day and a bad day. You know, they just make it that much better either way. You know, so those are my inspirations, and I always look up to them, even when I don't want to hear what they have to say sometimes. But I still ponder on some of the things that they say, even when I'm not around them. And it's been tough. My first week here was tough, being away from them, not being able to go to their houses and talk to them, having to talk on the phone. So they've been patient and working with me, though. So I really appreciate them and love them for that.
Now, same question, but on the football field, Who is your football hero?
My football hero would have to be Victor Cruz. I really was inspired by his story and how he developed his brand in the league, being a free agent. I would just like to talk to Victor Cruz about, you know, how it felt, you know. Obviously, he having some backlash on injuries now, but when he got his initiation into the NFL, being a free agent, it was incredible to me. I watched him from when he was wearing number 3 in the preseason, dominating the Jets to, you know, doing a salsa dance every Sunday. So I love it.
You were sitting there, you're doing the salsa too every Sunday, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes, right there with him.
Now, do you have any hidden talents? And if yes, what's your biggest hidden talent?
Hidden talent. I can play basketball. I can sing, rap. I can do it all.
We saw you on the sidelines. You were doing spitting a couple lines there.
Yeah.
Derek Dennis does that in his Instagram videos. Who's a better rapper, you or Derek Dennis?
Oh, definitely me.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, yeah. My freestyle game is crazy. It's ridiculous. My favorite rapper is Meek Mill, just so people know what's going on.
We'll have to set this up because Trevor Harris, quarterback of Ottawa, he actually likes to rap apparently too.
Okay.
So we'll set it up one time. We'll have a battle rap.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get you on with him,
yes.
And we'll see who is the best rapper in the CFL.
I'm the best in the CFL, yeah.
If you weren't a football player, mm-hmm. what would you be doing?
Coaching. College football.
Yeah. What position?
Either receiver or DB. I love receiver, but I also love DBs too, you know, because sort of, to me, I think it would be easier to coach DBs, being that I play receiver all my life. So I'd be able to give them niches and, you know, what to look at and different tendencies of a receiver. So
you got a couple hours to yourself. You load up Netflix.
Yep.
What are you watching?
Oh, I just got done with Animal Kingdom. I just got done with that. Started Game of Thrones yesterday. The first season, first episode. Hooked. Didn't catch the second episode because I went to sleep. But we started and we on a good track. So, I finished. It's another one. Another good Netflix option I'll give is new, called Atypical. It's about a boy with what's the disease called? They're very smart, but
autism.
Yes, autism. It's called Atypical. That is a very, very, very good Netflix show to watch. It's one season, probably about 10 episodes. Very, very good.
What's your biggest fear in life?
My biggest fear in life is not fulfilling my purpose in life. Yeah, so, and I want to make a dynamic impact on this planet. You know, so that's my goal. And if I don't fulfill that's my biggest fear, you know. It's not being successful. Because success is anything. You know, success is you. Whatever you think, you know, you made something out of nothing, that could be your success. You know what I'm saying? Your wealth or, you know, that's not, we're not talking money here. So I just would like to fulfill my destiny here on earth. And that's my biggest fear. And that's what I wake up and strive to do every day.
Now, the last question, it's obviously the most important one of all. Cats or dogs?
Cats or dogs? Dogs, for sure.
Why?
Cats are, you know, I don't really like animals that are too smart. I don't like animals that just, like cats, you can have a cat and never train it, but it's like automatically like antisocial, you know, spacious, got to have his own, you know, I don't like antisocial animals. I like dogs. They're friendly. They, you know, they play with you. You know, I don't even know how to play with a cat. Like, you know, all I know is to pet it. Like, I don't even know what to do. I stay out of his way, man. I stay out of his way. But dogs, I love dogs. Always had a dog. Always will have a dog. Yeah.
Awesome, Christian. Thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you very much.
So there's a little bit from a new player on the team, Christian Jones. Had a breakout couple games against BC. Even on the road, had some pretty good returns in that blowout loss in BC. But this home game, he was electric. He was so close to breaking a couple runs, returns for touchdowns. The guy, I really hope they find a way to keep him on the roster, especially with Chad Owens coming back. More than likely, Chad Owens is going to take his spot on the roster, but if we can keep Christian Jones on this roster, that keeps another dynamic playmaker on the field.
Oh, he looked phenomenal returning kicks. I would love to see him continue.
And the more I think about it, and I'm a Chad Owens fan, I don't see a role for him on this team. Like, he's going to rotate in with the receivers, be in the sixth receiver set, and more than likely kick or punt returns as well. But it just, I'd rather go younger at that position and see what else we have. We know what we're going to get at Chad Owens, and there's nothing wrong with what we're going to get at Chad Owens. We know what he's capable of, and he's going to be a good player, but I'd just rather go with a younger guy and keep that roster spot open for somebody else, maybe. And of course, if there's any player on the team that you'd like to hear from, let us know. And if there's a question you'd like to ask them, tell us what it is. We'll ask them. Hit us up on Twitter at PifflesPod. Just let us know who you want to hear from, and we'll try and get them on the Piffles Podcast. Now, time to move on to this week's rant.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
So, coming off a bye week, who's got a rant?
This is where we insert the cricket sound.
Bueller.
How can any of us be upset after we just raised over $1,500 for charity?
I'm not upset. That was awesome. Behind the scenes, we were looking. We set our goal a little bit lower than that. We set our goal at $1,000, and we got $1,505. So we can't be upset about anything. That was great, and the event was just, it was a lot of fun.
I'm trying my best to find something to be mad at. I love a good rant, but bye week.
That's a nice change. I love ranting, but other than Trent Richardson, and that's just a little minor thing for me that we covered already, I'm not upset about anything this week.
We're almost at 500. There's a severe lack of salt in this room right now.
That's a change. Usually this is a pretty salty room when we get together.
I apologize to our listeners if, you know, all you listen to is...
It's the rant.
Is for the rant.
Oh, that's a lovely sound. Posted on YouTube, ASMR. I don't know what that stands for, but it's gross.
Not sure what your YouTube...
No.
Don't you ever get caught in YouTube vortexes?
Yeah. It's usually music.
I can't do that. I can never get caught in a YouTube vortex. I can go maybe 2-3 videos max, and then I'm like, okay, I'm bored.
Oh.
Like, I can't do that.
Does this make you angry?
Do you wish you could?
No. Well, maybe.
You do on music videos. I do on stupid videos.
I only do it just for music. Like, I can just keep music going in the background all the time, though. But it has nothing to do with actually, like, wanting to sit there and watch it and just to kill time.
I have a YouTube obsession. Addiction. My strange addictions. Watching YouTube videos.
Blog about it. Post it on YouTube.
What?
Your strange addiction.
I think that would be a vlog.
Videotape me watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, and send it into my strange obsessions.
No.
Isn't that how it works? I mean, come rich and famous?
No, just videotape my life, which is super exciting.
Well, we saw puppies today. That was exciting.
Yeah. You're not keeping all this in the show, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Why not?
All right.
Nothing else to fill our time with.
Adds a little bit more personality and fun to it.
Okay.
Going off course is fun sometimes.
All right.
Kind of like a YouTube vortex.
I can't do that. I think I have to be in the mood.
I'll teach you. First you watch the video of people reacting to watching this video, and then it's like,
I can watch the reaction videos.
Because you watched that, watch this one. Watch people. British people trying American treats. Oh, you watch that one? Okay, watch this one.
Maybe we should do is videotape people listening to our podcast and start off with that.
So you want to have a video of people sleeping.
Or pooping.
Or doing
it. I bet you a lot of people listen to us while they poop.
Hi, Travis.
Hashtag Piffles pooping.
Let's not make that a trending hashtag.
Piffles pooping squad?
No.
PPS?
Piffles Poopcast? Poopcast?
No. I'm sure that's what a lot of people think of this show, actually.
If they didn't, if they listened to this episode, they just might. Episode 52, I'm sorry. episode 52, skip this one.
It's almost worth it at this point.
Skip the last 15 minutes.
Where we discuss Trent Richardson and poop. Basically the same thing.
Show ties together just so nicely. Right?
Y'all are welcome.
All right, let's get back to the reason why we're here. Football. Finally, we have our Piffles Pick'em to get to this week. Winnipeg at Montreal, Saskatchewan at Edmonton, BC at Ottawa, Toronto at Calgary. Lots of room for the Riders to move up in the West standings, so hopefully we get... It didn't work for me last week. I picked everything that was going to help the Riders in the standings. The only thing that worked was Calgary beating BC.
Edmonton lost last week, didn't they?
And now Winnipeg's up in second place, so that didn't really help. Who wants to start?
I'll do it. I got Winnipeg winning. Got the Riders winning. Ottawa and Calgary.
I have Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, British Columbia, and Calgary.
Ah, crap. I don't know who to pick between Riders and Edmonton.
Flip a coin.
Oh. Okay, I did it. Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, Calgary.
Ooh. Those are mighty fine picks. Mighty fine.
Same. And
I said same. Nothing important.
And for me, Montreal, because I can't see them having another joke performance like they did last week against Toronto, especially at home. They're like the Riders. They could play well at home. They suck on the road. So Montreal, Edmonton, Ottawa, Calgary.
I have to backtrack on my picks. I made a promise last week.
That's right.
I got to pick Edmonton. I got an anti-homer.
Speaking of homers.
Have you picked the Riders every week?
Every week.
Really?
Because I am a homer.
Dummy.
Yep. 100%.
The dead serious look on your face when you're like, dummy.
And remember at the beginning of the year, all three of you said they were going to go 10-8. I said 9-9 and have now picked them in 8 straight weeks.
Did I say 10-8?
Yeah. 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 Oh, yeah, you did, you bunch of homers. No, I'm gonna go Edmonton. You are welcome, Saskatchewan.
I'm picking Edmonton because I actually think they're going to win. I hope I'm wrong. I really, really do. Nothing would make me happier than a nice road victory. And this is a statement game for the Riders. And they need this to keep pace in the West, because you're going to look at it. If they lose to Edmonton, Winnipeg has a great chance of beating Montreal. BC could beat Ottawa. Calgary will probably beat Toronto. Like, they have a chance to lose ground on everybody in the West here. So this is an imperative. It's not quite a must win yet, but it's pretty high up there. So it'll be interesting to see what Rider team comes out this week. Hopefully the focus is there and they get a good start. And that's something that we haven't really seen on the road yet so far. Hopefully that's what we see. And hopefully next week at this time, we're talking about a nice Riders win.
For the good of the Rider season, we don't need to win, but we need to show up. If we get blown out like we did. No, there's some hope if they lose a tight game. There will still be some hope for the season. But if they get blown out like they did in BC 2 weeks ago or Calgary before that, in my opinion, that is it.
Well, we'll find out and we'll talk about it next week on the show. Speaking of that, that's it for us this week. Next week's show, we're going to recap that Riders at Esks game. We're going to preview that big Labor Day Classic game against Winnipeg, the first Labor Day Classic in New Mosaic Stadium. That place is going to be electric. And hopefully we're talking about a Winnipeg loss after that as well. We'll have Engaging with the Enemy. We'll see if we actually have a rant next week, if something grinds our gears. We'll have another entry into the Hottie Bowl. And of course, we'll have our Coney Island Poutine Cafe Piffles Player Profile. Until then, make sure you follow us on Twitter, at PifflesPod. You can follow me, at RealAlexD.
You can follow me, at Safamod.
Myself, at Fernie635.
And I'm at CFL Hottie Bowl.
Give us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. Check us out on Instagram. Just search Piffles Pod. And as always, make sure you get to our website, pifflespodcast.com. Piffles Podcast is brought to you by Bryn Werrett at Royal LePage Regina Realty. Check out brynwerrett.com. That's BRINWERRETT.com. Thanks for listening.
We're drinking town with a football problem.
Thanks for listening. Find more great shows like this at CF Pod Network on Twitter.